All right, you guys. This is Greg and Keegan with Gamers of Coffee. We're just going to sit here at our table. And I know I'm a little late to the show, but finally got the Space Marines Codex and cards, the newest one. So we're just going to sit and chit-chat and build an army list. So we'll see how that goes. Right now, Keegan, you've got...
Yeah, I'm just looking through your book. I'm just looking through your Crusade rules because it'd be nice to run a Crusade. But each faction has their own rules they run with also. Like, you use your normal Warhammer rules for the battle, but then you've got different rules in your Crusades, from what I understand. You got different bonuses, agendas, and stuff like that.
Well, that's that's the problem I have is, lately anymore, between work and such, it's hard to have the time to sit and read or do the games, right? So that's pretty much what we're trying to figure out.
You need a job like what I have where you're off during winter.
Yeah, that would be fantastic where I'm off during winter and just take unemployment and I could get a lot more done. But unfortunately, in the winter, I have
more work. Yeah, but then spring, summer, fall, once I'm at work, there's no...
No stopping.
It's like home? What's that? That's just a place I visit at night.
That's that place I go to sleep.
Yeah, so we can just go through, build you a... Because now you get access to your detachments also, so you can read through your detachments and whatnot. And because your detachments will also affect your command points and your command abilities.
I will say briefly, I like the new cards. For a long time, people heard me say, geez, I wish Warhammer had cards like other games, you know? And then they came out those big ones a year before. And the only thing that sucked is they redid it. Now you've got the smaller ones. But the smaller ones I like better. And they're gold. They're shiny, Keegan.
Yeah, I know, but you got so many, but freaking, you guys could stand to lose a few guys and still be okay.
Yeah, it depends on...
Because look how many cards you got. I mean, how many of those cards you actually going to use?
Well, the reason you got all these is everybody's taste is different. They're going to build a different army.
Yeah, I know. So. Well, when you click on the, like, on the Warhammer app, because I got the Warhammer app up, so yeah, I can see your stuff too. Like, when you click on the app and you click on the Space Marines... You've got what? You got the Black Templars, the Blood Angels, Dark Angels, Death Watch, Imperial Fist, Iron Hands, Raven Guard, Salamander, Space Marines, Space Wolves, the Ultramarines, and then the White Scars. All who run on the Space Marines Adeptus Astartes rules.
Well, you just have a lot you can do with the Space Marines, but teach their own, because everybody likes their own thing. Like, I wouldn't mind branching out a little bit. I'm just not quite sure what other... Yeah. Faction, and I really don't know everything about the Marines, so it's I make a big mistake, Keegan, because I got the cards, which helped me, but I don't get to play all the time, so here's my mistake. I don't read all the abilities. I forget to look down
and go,
this situation, I could do da-da-da. I literally forget that.
Yeah, well, you just need to read through it more often, but not like it's not like at your job where, like, Ashley's job or my job where, like, I get downtime in between trucks when I'm at work, if I'm loading trucks or whatnot, that I can sit there and I can sit on the app and I can read through my guys. Yeah. And, you know, because you almost have to have your cards memorized, at least in the ability, so you don't forget that. Whereas your job, I see you running around. You don't get like 2 seconds
there
to
is
sit.
There's no stop on my job. When I go to work without lying or... Want you to feel sorry for me. It's literally one thing to the next, to the next, to the next. And that's just pretty much how it goes. There's no...
When you're in basically a foreman position.
Yeah, there's no stop. Plus, I'm doing two jobs at this point, really, because I'm doing stuff in the office while there's short staff there. So, it would be nice. I mean, literally, I literally don't have time for lunch. They make me take a 30-minute break, but... That's not enough time to start reading in anything in the Warhammer world and figure anything out. So
no, by the time you start reading, by the time you start eating, it's either eat or read, one or the other.
Yeah, it goes pretty quick. So
yeah, because you've got some serious guys in here, because like your Anvil Siege Forge, which would damn near be great for just walking. I mean. I could see you walking all over the Necrons with this. Your Anvil Siege Forge. So it's a detachment for you. But It gives you the shield of the Imperium, which ranged weapon equipped by Adeptus Astartes models. So anything that has Adeptus Astartes, so which is what you're playing.
Maybe all of them, yeah.
So any of your Adeptus Astartes models from your army have the heavy ability. So that means every person has heavy. Like whether or not they have it on the chart, yeah. They have heavy, which automatically adds one to your dice roll so long as you stood still.
No. See, that would be good, especially boarding action.
So you're going to add heavy to your, so if you got a sniper who's sitting across the who's sitting down there, and he's got, your sniper unit has like line of sight down a hallway or something, they could literally just sit there and pick off anything that's coming through. So if they already hit on a three or a two, they're going to hit on a one or a two. So, but then if they already have the heavy ability, so if you already have it, so say some of your heavy guys already have it, each time an attack is made with that weapon, if they already had it and they remain stationary that turn, you add one to the wound roll. So say if you needed a three and you roll a two to wound and you need a three to wound, well, then it goes up to a three.
Yeah, because you're adding one. That would be
so, be which that's going to hurt as well. So not only are you getting a plus one for sitting still to hit, you're also getting a plus one for sitting still to wound.
Well, that could change the outcome of a
You just get a heavy unit to sit in a hallway, and they're just going to chew up anything that comes down that hallway.
Yeah.
So I mean, and then you got your Firestorm Assault. Yeah, your Firestorm Assault Spear. Here, I'll give you. I got your, basically have your book.
Yeah.
So on the side there where it says your
detachment rule.
Because I have your detachment rule. That's what I have in my hand. It's your ranged weapons. Then they have the assault ability. So basically, okay, so ranged weapons equipped with Adeptus Astartes model from your army have the assault ability. Each time an attack is made with such a weapon, targets a unit within 12 inches, add one to the strength characteristic of that attack. Okay, so I have to look up assault. Because just to make sure I'm correct. But if I remember it, assault. Weapons with the assault ability. Here it is. Weapons with assault in a profile and known as assault weapons, if a unit advances turn, it contains any models equipped with assault weapons, it is still able to shoot in this turn's shooting phase. So, like, you can assault, which you can advance. So, when you advance, I think it's in your movement. And normally, if you advance up,
yeah,
you can advance without shooting. So, it means you don't get to shoot. You can advance, but you don't get to shoot. Ooh, my book's already falling apart, and it ain't even a year old. That sucks.
And they're nice books, too.
Yeah, it looks like the glue's just coming undone.
Well, so, on this detachment rule for the Iron Storm Spearhead.
Advanced moves. Okay, advanced move. Models can move up to M, your movement, plus D6.
That's yours?
No, this is in the movement phase. This is in the rulebook.
In the rulebook, okay.
Yep, I got the Leviathan rulebook. And advancing. So, a unit advances. Make an advance roll for that unit by rolling D6. Add the results in inches to the move characteristics of each model in that unit till the end of the phase. Each model in that unit can then make an advance move by moving the distance inches less than or equal to the total, but no model can be moved within engagement range of enemy models. A unit cannot shoot or declare a charge in that same turn as it advances. However, if you've got the Firestorm Assault Force as your detachment that you pick, you can then do that because you have assault, which would allow you to move up. We'll roll 1d6 so you could potentially say who we got on top. We got your Terminator Squad. They could potentially, if you rolled a six, roll 5 inches plus six, so 11 inches total. They can move up 11 inches and still shoot.
That would work.
But they can only shoot a unit within 12 inches.
Yeah, so, that's the thing, you guys. You got to be able to read. That's why you can't just have the cards. You literally got to have the cards and the codex so you can start reading what they can do. And that's been my biggest flaw, like I said earlier, is I know enough about Warhammer to be dangerous, not enough to know every background story, every character.
I can't either.
And a lot of people are good at that. I just don't have the time, so I have to make sure. So next time me and you play, what I need to do is be able to take a night before we play and just go through, pick out the guys I'm going to use, and remember to use their abilities. Otherwise, the last time I was like,
You forgot their ability until my turn.
Yeah, it was your turn. It's already too late, you know, and so you're better at that than I am by a long shot remembering abilities.
Well, I've got more time to read. My children are independent now. Well, at least one of them is independent, too independent for her own good, and, well, I think she's a
teenagers.
Hermit.
Teenagers are fun, yeah.
Yeah, I think she's beginning to be a hermit.
Trust me, if she's just in her room, she's not just sitting there doing nothing.
Well, they no, when you hear she, you well, she's got, and I hate to call it Josh, but I'm going to call him out. He remember when he used to have his rages and when he was a teenager? When he was, you know, gaming and whatnot? Yeah. We heard Jaden all the way across the house because she got mutilated in Fortnite.
In Fortnite.
Yeah.
Good God.
Yeah. No, it was a... It was a sitting there, and it startled me, because all of a sudden, all I heard is a blood-curdling scream. It's like, Tell you what, when you're in a quiet house, because the other ones are laying down, and they're watching a movie or whatnot, and you're sitting there playing Mario Kart, and you hear that scream, it startles you.
Yeah, while you're sitting there playing something calm.
Yeah.
Well, as far as Warhammer goes, there's times you scream, too. No, or your dice fail you,
dude. Well, you don't have your sniper, so your dice shouldn't fail you too bad.
No, the sniper's gone. He's
although a sniper in not combat patrol where we're playing. They're doing the boarding action. I could see a sniper being useful, but also the kind of, like, if you got a long hallway, you're going to be able to shoot down. I could see a sniper being useful. You know, if they can sit on an end and sit on a objective and then shoot down a long hallway, I could see snipers being useful. You know, hopefully hitting and taking out your opponent before your opponent gets within range to do anything. Let's see here.
Wow. Some of these guys, I'm going to have to get an Eliminator squad.
Why? What do they got?
Well, the one rifle is 36-inch range, just one attack. Hits on a 3+, but a strength of 9, negative AP of 3, and a damage of a D6.
Looks like that's your sniper.
Yeah, that's what they look like.
Okay, so how many come in that squad? Does it not?
Three. An Eliminator Sergeant and two Eliminators.
It so three unit. Snipers.
Unit composition, yeah.
Jeez.
Well, only one's got that weapon. The rest have carbines.
So you got one sniper.
Well, you got one with the sergeant's glass fusel, whatever that is. And that is... And then...
Yeah, because eventually what I want to do is get some... Yeah, you and your freaking vehicles. You got so many freaking vehicles. I'm almost tempted to drop the Necrons and drop the Votan and go over. Just because...
vehicles.
Well, not as much as the Space Marines do. And you know I like my vehicle. You know what? I'm a very vehicular person.
It's expensive, though. Wouldn't it be for us to buy tanks in Warhammer?
Well, they're pretty damn expensive models. Well, yeah, they're expensive models, but we're not going to...
We're not doing a tank war there.
Well, we're not doing not tank war, but we're not doing competitions. So we could do print, you know, we could print knockoffs because it's just us. So... Trying to find your gut. What'd you say they were?
It's called the Eliminator Squad. I don't have that. I'll have to pick a box of them up.
Yeah. Ooh, you got a Suppressor Squad.
Oh, there's all sorts of
them. Oh, yeah. Oh, good lord. One Suppressor Sergeant, two Suppressors.
Yeah, it's a
unit your Suppressor Squad is quite nasty by the looks of it. You've got what's called the Accelerator Autocannon, and it's already got heavy. Your Assault Intercessor Squad is a two-sided card. Okay.
All right.
It's already got, let's see, you got 48-inch range, 3 attack, hits on a 4, and then is 8 there... strength, a negative 1 AP, and 2 damage. However, with the heavy, you stand still, it hits on a 3, and then still has 8 strength and negative 1 AP. Let's see here. Every model is equipped with an Accelerator Autocannon, Bolt Pistol, and Close Combat Weapon. Oh, so these guys are... all three of your guys come with the Accelerator Cannons, all three of you guys come with Bolt Pistols, and all three have a Close Combat Weapon.
The Suppressor Squad.
Suppressor Squad. That'd be real good for you to have. I mean, just three guys walking around with the the M60. Is that your chain belt? Your belt fed machine gun.
So they're just gonna run around suppressing people. But let's see.
Infantry. They have grenades, smoke, jump pack, fly, and Imperial Suppressor Squad. Ooh, they've also got jump packs. So they're basically walking warthogs.
I don't know.
I mean, they say the A-10 warthog always goes burp for you, so these guys might always go burp for you when they jump over crap.
Yeah, I don't know. As long as they do damage. What was that one you were talking about when we first started talking? I'm sorry, I forgot. What was the ability for standing still that was under the...
Oh, that's the heavy. Okay, so that we were talking about detachments.
Under detachment, right.
Yeah, so that was the Anvil Siege Force detachment. Gosh, that'd be a 48-inch range, so no matter where you went, no matter what... God.
Well, so like this... Whoops. So like this here, Keegan, on the Eliminator Squad, they all hit on threes. So if I use that, they would all hit on twos.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that would make it even easier to hit.
Go through and...
See if you can find that Eliminator Squad.
Ah, I finally found it. I'm looking for it so I could look at what you're looking at, too. Every model is equipped with a Bolt Pistol, Bolt Sniper Rifle, and Close... Okay, so the all three get the Bolt...
Yep.
No, Greg, it's not just your sergeant with a sniper rifle. You got three guys walking around with sniper rifles.
Yep, except for the sergeant. Bolt sniper rifle can be replaced with one of the following. The Instigator Bolt Carbine or the Laz Fusil, whatever that is. Well, the Laz Fusil is the one that has the range, does the most damage. So the sergeant can be equipped with that.
Yeah, I mean, if you equip him with that so that, and then have your other two guys with Bolt sniper rifles...
Yeah.
Last fusil isn't as precise, so it's just going to go to whoever's got the wound. However, your bolt sniper rifle also has precision.
Yeah.
So which means you're going to pick who in my squad gets hit. With precision. That's what precision means.
Yep.
So precision means it doesn't just automatically go to whoever's wounded or I pick. It's going to go to whoever you pick when you have precision. So really, if you shot that bolt sniper rifle... You hit whoever first, then you hit the last fusil. It'd have to go, you know, you're going to essentially pick because you're going to, you know, that wound from the last fusil is going to have to go to whoever.
Yeah, whoever has the wounds, except for that's a strength of 9.
A negative with a D6 damage.
Yeah, negative AP of 3. So yeah, literally.
You're not. I mean, that'd be a good squad to have.
It would just be good.
And they save on a 3+. They have 2 wounds each.
Yeah, the wounds are...
That'd be a good squad to have wounds. For you.
Their toughness is standard toughness.
That'd be a good squad for you to have. We'd have to find you an Eliminator squad.
Well, that's why I wrote it down, because this would be something that's only three models, but I could add to what, you know, I'm trying to set up something more than, because I have a hodgepodge of.
So you're thinking you're going to use the Anvil Siege Force?
Well, during Anvil Siege, I'm just making a, no, look, this group, this Eliminator Squad would be good to use with the detachment Anvil Siege. That doesn't mean I'm always going to do that.
Okay, just so you're saying, just making like what I'm would be good with what. Okay.
This group would really excel with Anvil Siege because, look, you'd hit on a two on every single one of these.
Yeah.
Because they're sniping anyways, they're not really moving most of the time. I mean, you're going to move your sniper, yes, I know. But most of it, they're going to stay stationary.
They're going to stay stationary. I mean, so, they're good. If you got a hallway or something,
yeah, they're going to sit hall, there. Cover a battlefield, something.
Ricky gets them in the back of a battlefield. What was the range? 36 inches? You'd have to have them in the middle of the battlefield.
Well, they got to sneak up. You got to move. They can't just sit from way at the end and do that. But.
Well, I mean, you're freaking. You're one guy's. You're that I was reading last. You're that has a 48 inch range. They could. Your suppressor squad. They could almost sit in the back of a battlefield and shoot.
Wow. So. I'm sitting here going, why would I want to equip the sergeant with the instigator bolt carbine? It does less than the standard carbine. But on the ability end, you can reposition under covering fire. So in the shooting phase after you've shot, if your sergeant is equipped with that instigator bolt carbine, which is the lowest of all the weapons, then the unit can make a normal move. So you're going to move, you're going to shoot, and then you can move again.
That's not a bad tactic to have. It was as much crap as Ashley gives me. That's not a bad tactic to have.
I think that would be a good tactic.
You could have it, move, shoot, and then get your guys out of harm's way. You know what I'm saying?
Also, each time this unit remains stationary, so this is where it gets good, until the start of your next movement phase, ranged weapons equipped by this model, which they all have, will have the Devastating Wounds ability.
And that's your Eliminator Squad?
Yeah.
I'm trying to find it, yeah. I'm just able to look it up. I have the app on the phone, so I can look. Oh, you're marked to target. Yeah. Devastating Wounds... I think automatically. No, I don't know.
I like the precision though, because you can pick your target. It doesn't do as much damage, but it is going to be more on. So, just kind of a thing to. This is the first time I've had a chance
wounds,
to really.
Immortal wounds. You butt heads. Mortal wounds. Saving throws of any kind cannot be made against damage inflicted by mortal wounds. Okay, so devastating wounds, you just pretty much get wounded.
It's an automatic.
All of the rules that allow mild to no wounds, feel no pain can be used. So, like, feel no pain is the only thing.
So it overrides some of the.
Yeah, so feel no pain. So I looked up Devastating Wounds, it says Immortal Wounds. And then I brought up Mortal Wounds. Saving throws do not work against it. However, Feel No Pain is your only quote-unquote save against that. But with that, damage inflicted by Immortal Wounds, although the rules that allow model to ignore wounds can be used. Like, example, Feel No Pain. Mortal Wounds are applied one at a time and are not lost if a model in the target unit is destroyed. Continue to apply them until they are all resolved or the target unit is destroyed. So, yeah. So you can spread it through the unit once it's... But then if you have precision, if an attack with a precision ability can be allocated to a character model... Leading attack unit can inflict mortal wounds to this target. The mortal wounds inflicted by that attack are also allocated to character models first. So with that and precision, I don't know if your guys have precision. You had the Eliminator Squad?
Yeah, they have precision. On two of the rifles. The bolt sniper rifle. That's heavy and precision. And then the Instigator carbine, which would be a lighter weapon just because it's a carbine. That doesn't have heavy, but it has precision, less range.
Gosh, you get on battlefield, two adult squads would be nasty. How many points are they apiece? 75 points apiece.
Per squad?
Per squad.
I wonder how many you can have.
Unit composition, let's see, 75. So you only have one squad together, so you can't, like, double up on them like some of the squads. However, you can have two separate squads. And I believe you're only allowed to have three, which it seems to
be about what?
Yep, okay, you can only have three of them.
Well, but I mean, I wouldn't be able to afford to get three of them, but I could buy one. This would just be good to add to in the back to be in with my regular guys, I think. Yeah. Now, see, I didn't even know about them till going through the book, so.
Yeah, that's why you got to go through the book.
Well, the book, that's what I'm saying. So, Games Workshop's got you when you really need the book. You really got to have the codex and not the cards. You can start playing with just the cards, but you're...
Well, if you have the card and you have it on the app, then you know how many points things are. Because I don't think the cards tell you points. No, the cards don't tell you points. Because points change, and they change so drastically.
Well, it's better that the app... You use the app for the points. Because, like you said, they change them around. And then you don't know. You don't know. Oh, okay, so this I used to be able to use. Now I can't, so...
So, yeah, that's not a bad squad at all. I mean, freaking... Not a bad squad to have. Nope. Yeah, you got lots of freaking vehicles. Now, you got a bunker.
Yep.
That'd be good for when we play.
When we play
where it's not in a ship with... Because I like playing boarding action. But that's because you roll it, and there's walls, there's things. I mean, you're also not going to be practicing SWAT and military tactics.
You're also not going to be playing for 4 hours on a game. So
no, I mean, freaking you and I played, and you hadn't played in a while, and what we...
I had to literally re-look at everything, and still...
Yeah, but...
Still,
but
it was done in about an hour, I think, was it?
With looking up rules, having OG help us.
Yeah.
Because he was going over things and helping you out. I think we, what, played 2-3 hours? And that was with stopping, looking, talking.
Yeah, but I think the whole game... But I'm saying,
if we weren't talking...
Yeah, it was about 2 hours, and
you,
I guess.
If we weren't talking and you had played more, to where you knew what everything was, like, my Necrons, I knew what was going on. That's why my turns were faster than yours. But I had also had time to memorize, look, read, understand what my guys do...
Yeah,
put them together.
If you've got all of it memorized, you sit down and play, I'll bet you any boarding action game will run you less than an hour, about 45 minutes
to an hour, I'd say.
Just at a guess. I mean, because it's going to go quick.
But, like, if you're, like, looking up, okay, but the cards made it go so much faster.
Yeah.
Like, I remember in 9th edition, like, you're flipping through, you flip through the book.
Well, going back and forth through the book is a pain in the butt to me.
But the cards, you bring out the cards you need, and that's it. Then you have the card in your hand.
Yep, they're good for quick reference. I'm really happy they did those. I mean, this was, although they're a little expensive, it was $40 for a set of cards. But I spent $25 on the data sheet cards the last year.
Yeah, but from my understanding, the cards are going to be good for damn near indefinitely, at least till 10th done. Because with the cards, what I'm understanding is stats aren't going to change on troops and whatnot. Well, from my understanding, stats aren't changing, but your points are. Now, they have made a few things, like they did a change to the Necrons. They changed how our reanimation protocols work, which I think is bullcrap, but that's for another Rampage and rant another day, because I already did that when we played. So, yeah, I mean, it's just keeping on top of things. I mean,
If they'll leave this alone, literally, and not come out with another codex for, 4 or 5 years, that'd be nice. But
well, it's going to be a while before you have another codex anyway, because I don't think they're very far in. The Votan are near the end before they get a codex. Actually, yeah, I mean... I don't know. I'm at the point where I love my Necrons, and I love the lore of the Votann.
So why don't you keep those two? Or
I don't know if I really want to keep playing Votann or not, because I don't know.
But they were tough little guys, ain't they?
Yeah. Well, the only reason I really love bringing the Necrons is because I love the ability to basically, in your face, stand back up after you shot me.
Yep.
That's really what hooked me with the Necrons. Like, you can shoot me, I stand back up, and you know, then you're getting frustrated. Like, I shot the little bastard, but he won't stay down.
So you're like, we do a regular army battle and be like, hey, Keegan, what's that Resurrector guy doing behind your Sigatar on chains? Well, I captured him. I'm going to use him. No?
Yes, I didn't even thought about that.
You know, my computer guy,
my robots captured it, and we turned it over, and we reprogrammed it. Now it rehealed all the vehicles.
Yeah, there you go.
Which I do have.
Don't you have like
I have a captain who's basically a mobile mechanic.
Yeah, you got some tech guys.
And I used him in the battle with Ashley. However, that one round was only five rounds. That game was only five rounds, so it didn't come out. You know, that game we didn't drag it on. We stopped. We agreed at five rounds, and it was kind of nice to be able. My Sigatar took a big hit. He had like 2 points left of health, and I was like, "Crap!" I didn't want to lose him because if I lost him, then Ashley gets the points for blowing it up, and so I rolled it back, and I had a building I was able to hide my mechanic behind. So my mechanic was hidden behind the building. He wasn't going to take any hits or shots. I ran my Sigatar back there. My Sigatar was able to get healed up and still shoot down the side of the other vehicles. I scooted my other two vehicles over just enough so he had a line of sight.
Yeah.
And he could still shoot his rockets and his guns without hitting anybody else.
Yeah, but see, that's where all the tactics come in. I mean, it's a fun game. It really is. And I see, There's a lot to it, but it's fun. It's just, I just got to get this work thing and all this craziness under control so I can start getting... I used to have time, Keegan, to get off of work, and...
I know, because we used to do more stuff.
Just be able to do more stuff in the evenings. Now it's like, and other people, it's the same for everybody else. Seems like you're running out of time to get things done. But this will help build a list a lot better, so I think I'll make an effort maybe within after we get back from March to Victory, because that's going to take any extra money. But I'm going to buy an Eliminator squad. I'll just go pick one up. I think that'd be worth having.
Oh, that definitely would be. I mean, you've already got a Hellblaster squad.
I don't have any snipers. Yeah, I have the Hellblasters.
I think when we get to the bigger battles and you start taking vehicles, I think. I hate to say it, we're not going to go into competitions. I think vehicles, we just need to print.
Well, if you can find one that's reasonable. So, a lot of people have been 3D printing, and that's cool if that's what they want to do. I have yet to, with Space Marines for myself, find something that looks like it. Keegan found one that looked pretty good until you printed it, and then they had like a chain with a medallion. Like, they were like gangster Marines.
Yeah.
Which was kind of funny, because I was like... All right, these are gangster Marines. But you know what I mean? I haven't found something close. People say there is. I just probably haven't looked enough. And right now, with our printer, I bought that nice 8K resin. It's supposed to be, but it won't stick to this build plate for nothing. So we've sent a question to tech support asking them what's going on, how we can use it. They still haven't gotten back to us. And so in other words, Gotta get something going, but long story short, in the meantime, I'll have to just go through the tanks and go, what's the best one I can use for battles,
Right.
Not big battles, but something like, if I was to just go buy one model, do you know what I mean?
Yep.
Okay, so then I gotta come up with whatever it costs. It's under $100 or something, but...
Well, and then you need to remember, too, is you can attach your characters to your units.
Yeah.
So like your captain, he can be attached to, he's a leader, he can be attached to an assault intercessor, a blade guard veteran squad, a company heroes, Hellblaster squad, Inferno squad, intercessor squad, stern guard veteran squad, and a tactical squad. So I don't know if your book has it separated in it or not.
What I'd like to pick up is one of these other
Fire Strike servo turrets. No, you don't want to pick one.
Those are nice. Those are nice range.
No, you don't want one. No.
What do you mean I don't want one?
You don't want one because you might win, so you don't want one.
Well, unit composition is up to two. I only got one. I thought, how's this going to work?
You might just obliterate me, so you don't want one.
It works pretty damn good. Not bad. Attack of two, hits on a two, a strength of 10, negative AP of three, and damage is D6 plus one.
See, you don't want one.
I have one. I can have up to two.
Well, you want to sell it. You don't want it.
I want to sell it. Okay.
You don't want to use it because it might obliterate me, so you don't want to use it. So.
Well, I bought it because I thought, well, this is kind of cool looking, like a heavy MG, you know, but
yeah,
I didn't realize. It's kind of funny though. Toughness, wounds, leadership 666.
Oh, your captain, man. You got a captain you take out? Like a captain?
There are a couple captains. One, well, like with...
So if you go to the front of your units, like where your units start, your leaders are in the front. Let's see here. Because I noticed that the books kind of follow the... So captain. Let's see here. This would be FB just captain. Not captain with anything. So there's
Phobos armor terminator. Just plain old captain.
Yeah. Okay.
Which I have.
So he's got an ability I was just reading called Rites of Battle. Once per battle round, one unit from your army with this ability can be targeted with a stratagem for 0 command points, even if another unit from your army has already been targeted with that stratagem. So your stratagems are up front.
Yeah.
So if you're in the anvil, let's say you're in the anvil. Let's see here. Yeah, so say... So you're in the anvil, so you could target him with whatever of these you need to target him with for no command points. So literally, you're getting a free stratagem by having him on the battlefield. But it's got to target your captain. So say you've got the... Let's go back here. So say you got Armor of Contempt. It worsens armor penetration if anyone shoots at it. Command rerolls, counteroffensive. Your unit fights next no matter what. So you could hit him with counteroffensive, and your unit would fight next no matter what. So like that works during the melee combat. Epic challenge. So you could save up, have 2 CP. Your guys could get... So in a melee fight... And say I attacked you, and then your guys attack back. Well, then you can make it to where no matter what, your unit, that unit with the captain in it, can attack next no matter what.
There's a lot that can be
done. Rigid discipline. What's that? Restrict effect. Your unit can immediately make a fallback move of up to
6 inches if. One of the Marines basically, it says one Adeptus Astartes unit from your army that is within engagement range of one or more of the enemy units. So that unit, if it's engagement range, it can fall back 6 inches. That's nice.
But only if you're falling wholly within a deployment zone or within range of an objective marker, which that makes it nice. You can fall back onto an objective marker. Or smoke screen. Shit, he can target him with... Oh, you can't target him, but... Yeah.
Well, it's not bad. See, one command point, one command point, one command point, two command points.
Yeah, you're going to get one command point each time. But then you can also get, like, I've got... Is it Emotech? Yeah, okay, so I've got Emotech, the Stormlord. So if I've got him out on the field, I gain a command point no matter what. I gain an extra command point. So long as he's on the battlefield, I'll get 2 command points each time it comes to my turn. Which you probably got some character that does that for you, if you look in their abilities.
Maybe.
Yeah, I'd have to look at your... Let's see here. Captain, here's armor. No. You just have to kind of go through. What's your chaplain ability? Ooh. While it's mouth leading a unit, each model in that unit makes a melee attack, add one to the wound roll. That's what your chaplain does. See, that's where the bigger games, that's not boarding action.
That's where I get, just honestly, is I'll start to get a bit confused because each of these models have different characteristics, and then your army has different characteristics, and then there's these things you can use under this circumstance or that, and it's like, wah!
They all look the flipping same, too.
So it's just difficult to try to remember everything.
Well, you've got so many freaking... What's your Tech Marine?
I don't know anything about the Tech Marines. I don't have any. I was wanting to pick up one of these. Invictor Tactical War Suits. That would have been nice.
Oh, snap. Your Tech Marine's your mobile mechanic. With the blessing of Omnisiah. In your command phase, you can select one friendly Adeptus Astartes vehicle model within 3 inches of this model. That model regains up to D3 lost wounds, and until the start of your next command phase, each time that vehicle model makes an attack, add one to the hit roll. Each model can only be selected for this ability once per turn. You might want to, if you were running a vehicle heavy list, you might want a few of them on your battlefield. Tech Marine, while this model is within 3 inches of one or more Adeptus Astartes vehicle units, this model has a lone operative ability, so unless I'm within 12 inches, I can't see him, as long as he's within 3 inches of a vehicle. But he's within 3 inches of a vehicle, he can also heal a vehicle. And then, if a friendly Adeptus Astartes vehicle model is destroyed within 12 inches of this model at the end of the battle, this model's ominous and power acts. Or until the end of the battle, this model's ominous and power axe has an attack characteristic of 7 versus 6. So it goes up 1 strength. Ooh. He's nasty. He's got a force bolter and a grab pistol. Both hit on a 2+. And then, yeah, so that's where if you had him on the battlefield. Okay, so, and you have that anvil, he'd be hitting on 1+, so he'd be auto-hitting no matter what. Because you're always going to hit on a 1. You can't do worse than a 1.
Well, no.
So, he auto-hit, so he'd automatically have 3 hits. And then, the strength of 5, -1, and damage of 2.
And that's all.
Yeah, that's your Tech Marine. But then his power axe, which would hits on a 3+, has 4 attacks, hits on a 3+, 6, it has 6 strength, a -2 AP, and a 2 for damage. Ouch. Or you can use the servo arm. Ooh, servo arm, which has extra attacks. So you're going to get 5 attacks from him in melee. 4 from your power axe and 1 from your servo arm because it's extra attacks. And the extra attacks automatically attack also.
Good grief.
So you get 1 attack from your servo arm with a strength of 3+, or with a 3+ weapon strength, and then a strength of 8 with a -2 AP and 3 damage from that one. Ouch. On top of that, the mobile mechanic, frick, you'd had to stab him and have some vehicles sit in the background.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. I have to really sit down and just... That's why I'm making notes.
Ouch, that would hurt a lot. That's just your Tech Marine. So that's nice to know you got a mobile mechanic. It's just your mobile mechanic isn't freaking huge.
No, but at least it does something there.
Yeah, so you have to kind of read through your characters and whatnot. And then you got your Impulsor, Razorback, and Rhino for your vehicles. The other data sheets. Yeah. So once we get down boarding actions, everything we do in boarding actions will basically translate over to regular Warhammer, and then we'll start adding vehicles and stuff in. 1,000 points, you might not add too many vehicles, but freaking you get up there like your Lancers and whatnot. They're not very much. Your bunker's only 175 points. Your Hellbaster squad's 125. A warsuit. Yeah, no thanks.
The Invictor warsuit? It's just, that'd be kind of cool to have, just to have.
Well, it moves 8 inches. It's got toughness of 8, saves on a 3+, with a wounds of 12, a leadership of 6, and when it sits on an objective, it's got 4 points.
Ouch. 12 wounds. Nice.
Yeah. What's your range weapon? You've got a grenade launcher, which had flash, heavy bolter, and centering cannon, twin iron ball auto cannons, twin iron hail heavy stubbers.
Linked. So you've got
twin 48. Twin linked. It you can reroll your
12 your to 48 inch ranges. Yep.
Well, and everything is freaking. Then you got a fist for.
Yeah, an attack of 5. On a 3+ with a strength of 14.
Then you got your ability is Vanguard support once per turn in your opponent's shooting phase. When a friendly Death Star Probos infantry unit within 6 inches of the model is selected as a target of an attack, this model can use this ability. If it does, after that enemy model unit is finished making its attack, this model can shoot as if it were a shooting phase. When resolving those attacks, it can only target the enemy. Okay. So your Invictor warsuit acts, but it's huge, so it can be seen. So you don't get the stealth ability like I do, but he's going to act like, where did he go? I can't even think of his name now. Answers, Catans. Midgard, no, what the frick was his name? My Hexmark Destroyer. My Hexmark Destroyer is small, so I get the ability to hide. But he's got the ability if you got Phobos, what do you call that? The Phobos what?
Phobos Infantry.
Yeah, the Phobos Infantry unit. So that's going to be in your keywords.
Yeah, because his keywords have Phobos.
So your Phobos Infantry, which is.
I don't know.
I'm just looking through, see if I can find it. Basically, as long as the Phobos Infantry is around him and they get shot at, he can shoot back. Which is kind of nasty.
Well, I mean, all this stuff is kind of nasty if you look at it. It's just a matter of remembering what you can and can't do in what situation. That's where it gets me a little bit. But that will come with literally just playing in Moria. Several different dreadnoughts.
There's 1 through 3 of them.
Yep.
Trying to find your Phobos Infantry and see or the keyword of Phobos Infantry and find out.
The Eliminator Squad has Phobos.
Does it?
Right there.
See it on the
Eliminator Squad. Keywords Infantry, Grenades, Imperium, Phobos, Eliminator Squad.
Okay, so Solange has got Phobos on it. Yeah, so he'd be good to have, especially in a battle. And he's only, how many points was he?
I don't know.
140 points. That ain't bad. 140 points, and you got something that shoots back?
So, if they're attacked.
Not Overwatch. No,
it's not like attacked. Overwatch, right?
It's kind of.
Is that what you're saying?
It acts like Overwatch. No, Overwatch shoots as you come in. No, they're. It's a counterfire. So, as long as it can see whatever unit shot at your Phobos unit,
then it can shoot at them.
Yeah. But it can't shoot anything else. It's got to shoot whatever shot. So if my Necron Warrior shot at your Phobos unit, but I had Immortal or something else beside it, you have to shoot the Necron Warriors because that's a shot.
That's what shot
at your Phobos unit.
And so it's a precision return fire, basically.
Yeah.
Precise. So that's what I'm saying. It's like this help moment's already been an hour.
Dude, you've got so much crap you can go through and yeah.
Well, see, for right now, on the side, I know you guys can't see, but so I made some notes, and there's three units I want to get that will work together fairly well, and two of them have the Phobos, so they will be able to at least cover them. So I think the Eliminator Squad will be my first pick to buy, and then maybe an Invictor Warsuit after that.
I would do the Invictor Warsuit later.
Yeah.
Just because I'm still playing Boarding Action. I want to do a couple campaigns with the Boarding Action. I'd like to run a campaign to see if you could take over the Necron ship and see if you could eliminate the Necron ship. And I'd give you a little bit of a boost, give you like 200 or 300 points more than what we would start at. But it would be one where as you go through, whatever you lost in the last battle, they're gone.
Do you want to do like Aliens another day in the core?
Well kind of. Yeah, or Halo.
Yeah, so
you go to Captain Keys, you get what, eight guys that go with you onto the ship when you the first time you go with Captain Keys.
So as your losses go forward, you go forward, you're not being resupplied. It's this right. is what you've got. If you started with 10 guys and you ended up with 7 going to the next round, you got 7 or whatever, as an example.
Yeah.
Okay. So then you'd have to do it over what, a 3?
I would just do 3 battles. I think anything over 3 battles would be too much.
Probably too much. But
if we did it over 3 battles, I'd have to give you another 300 on top of
it
that.
It may not even make it, because if you do 3 weekends and we do 3, what are they, 5 rounds each?
Yeah.
Or 4 or 5 rounds. Okay, so it's 15 rounds. Well, I don't know if either side, without being resupplied, yours can come back, so the problem with mine is...
Well, mine can come back, but remember, mine's not going to... I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to go 400 on my side. Because if you're coming into your room, there's already troops there. There's already, you know what I'm saying, they're already there.
Yeah.
You know, like when you're on the Covenant ship getting Captain Keys back. You know, you walk in their room, just because you fought guys in the last one, you went to the next room, there's freaking grunts everywhere. I mean, normally they were sleeping. So you just sneak around and hope the elite didn't see you and start mealing all of them. And
we could do that. I think 3 would be okay. I don't know if I would stretch it too. I don't think you could play 3, too much longer because 3, that's a lot 3 of 3
would be 3 battles for that campaign would be enough because that's about how long it would take you to get to the bridge.
So why don't you try to figure out the logistics of it, because February is almost over. We're more than halfway through the month.
Yeah, and we got March. And
March to victory is going to take us. We're just going to be doing whatever we can between here and there. Then when we get back, things would have calmed down. We could do a...
Well, when we get back, we're going to do our Twilight campaign.
Yeah.
So...
But we have the luxury of living down the street from each other. So we could do the Twilight campaign, but in the middle of the week, we could also do the Boarding Action.
Campaign. I mean, once we know everything
we're doing... Well, we'll just set it up. Like this table would work, right? For us.
Well, yeah. It worked for when we played Boarding Action.
So if we leave it set up and we did Twilight at your house...
Yep, Twilight at our house or at the coffee shop even.
Or the coffee
all
shop.
All I got to have is internet access so that Mythos and Brian can call in.
Yep, so we can do that at the coffee shop. And then leave the other set up here and just do 3 weekends. Come in throughout the week, we could do battle report on it.
Yep.
That would work. Because say we did one turn and you had to go home or whatever, we could accomplish it every week that way.
Yep.
Because it would be left in place, I think.
We could probably get two turns in an hour. Do 2 or 3 turns in an hour.
I don't see why you couldn't.
And then really, we could just take it apart and then let Ashley or somebody rebuild the next room. That's what we could do, too, is let Ashley pick the rooms.
Yeah, and kind of run the stats.
She can kind of run. She could give her the book, say, here's all the missions in it. You know, she can pick the 3... And we come in, because you won't know what it is. I mean, really, I should know, but...
So you would have
I wouldn't know which three rooms your guys would go into, and your guys really don't know which rooms you're going to go into. So really, that'd scenario. Be fair.
Set the scenario up so that you know what we're doing.
Yeah, let's do that.
So the Marines can board the ship to try to take it over and start at one end and just continue to fight through to whatever the objective is, the bridge or...
And then I'd love to see them do the same to the Tyranids. Could you wipe out the Tyranid ship before it got down to the planet?
Probably not.
That's the one that's going to be nasty.
Close
quarter, they got everybody.
To me, the Tyranids, in theory, you're not going to win against something like that because it constantly creates out of things it kills. So it's never going to run out. You're going to run out of ammo, and you're going to run out of people. So really, in reality, I don't think you'd ever be able to stop a, quote, Tyranid type of a force. It's like Starship Troopers.
They took out the... Ooh, you know what else we could do? We could run around against Necrons. Then we could see if you could take out... If you didn't want to do Tyranids, we could do one where you see if you can take over the Votann. A Votann ship.
I don't know why the Marines would want to go fight the Votann, though.
I mean, I don't know if you'd be able to get through the hull, though.
No. We'll stick with...
Well, like the Votann are... Which kind of shocked me. They put them under Chaos.
I didn't know that. Why? Yeah.
I think it's because the Votann have sided basically almost allied with the Tau. Huh. That's why a lot of our armor looks very Tau-like.
I guess Chaos, to me, I think of all the weird shit, the possessed stuff and all this other stuff going on. I don't...
Or Xenos.
Or it might be Xenos.
The Necrons and the Votann are in the same group, in the Xenos group.
Okay, so the Tau...
That's right. Chaos is all the undead and
all that, the weird... All the weird crazy stuff. Yeah.
That's right. The Xenos is what they're under.
It's kind of funny, this... this... Warhammer universe is hugely...
I'd love to see a game, though. I mean, maybe we could play it. To where you picked... I mean, I'd love to... Maybe we can run a boarding action on it once. To where you let your troops... move as they need to. Because I like the idea of, you know, staying together, whatnot. But it'd be nice to move your troops... independently, especially when you're playing boarding action, it'd be nice to move them independently to where they didn't have to stay with their squad. So if you had...
Yeah, but how would that affect the cohesion part where if you had two guys going here and the other three in your group...
But so they... I'm saying you lost all be three, independent. Then
you'd have to make them independent, otherwise they would be penalized.
Right, I mean, I'm just saying it'd be nice to get rid of the cohesion and just let them run independent.
Do you need a smaller group?
But the cohesion also gets rid of them as soon as they get low. It helps get rid of and shorten the game, too. Oh, frickers.
We could try it.
You know what? I'm not wondering if it would benefit me if I brought in a Hexmark Destroyer as my character in boarding action instead of bringing in something else. Because with him having deep strike ability and everything else, I'm not wondering if that would benefit. However,
How's that going to work on the ship, though?
Huh?
Deep strike, how's that going to work on the ship?
Remember, they just teleport where the frick they want.
Through walls, yeah.
Well, they can only go through walls if I've got the certain guy.
But some of these you won't be able to take on a ship, right?
Huh?
What are some of these models you've got? Would they be able to be on a ship?
Some, but not all. I feel like a good majority of mine can't because, like, my spiders. I have spiders that I want to use, but my spiders are considered vehicular, which kind of sucks.
Well, they're mechanical when they move.
Well, that it's meaning they're huge. Like my Canoptic spider is considered a vehicle.
Oh, it's big though.
But it's only like this big.
Yeah, but it's not gonna fit in hallways.
No, just
so that's deployed. So on boarding action, it's got to be pretty much regular troops, or you're not going to be getting monsters and all this other stuff through.
I think what I want to do for part of the setup, I want to set up a vehicular bay, kind of like when you sit with Halo. I should do that.
Yeah, the bay, like a fight in a bay.
The fight in the bay, but remember, like in Halo, you'd enter like it's like the fourth or fifth room you went in. and you came into their docking bay with all their ships and whatnot, the Covenant ships and
that Banshees. You might be able to have a spider because that would be something to be in a bay that would be dropped down to a planet surface. So
right,
I can see where it'd be there. But I'm saying
with the Votan in a vehicle bay where the vehicles are stored, kind of like, you know, like on the UNSC Infinity, was it the Infinity or what the heck ship was it that Captain Keyes was on?
Well, it as far as the ship goes though.
But there was a vehicle bay, you know. You fought through a UNSC vehicle bay to get out, and it'd be nice to do that.
That's what I'm saying, Keegan. You could put a spider in the bay.
Yeah, but if I do that with a Necron, then I'm not going to have it run.
Well, but that's what I'm saying. That's where it would be. It would be in a bay to be deployed to a planet surface. It would not be in the hallways fighting.
Oh, no. See, Necrons don't have a vehicle base. Everything we have gets built as needed. So that's the crazy thing with the lore. So if Necrons are in the warp, which I don't know how much of the lore you've read, but the warp is what you travel through.
Yep.
So when Necron's in the warp to save drag and gain speed to go through the warp faster, we will literally put everything into ones and zeros. So everything literally gets downloaded to a computer, basically.
Oh.
However, if these computers short circuit, everything in that computer is lost. And if you remember, Necrons aren't exactly growing. In numbers, we are losing numbers, and each Necron lost, it's gone, done, not coming back.
Yeah,
because, and I don't understand.
The race that started from it was one race, though.
It was one race. But what I don't understand is like why they didn't take that technology with them. They left it on Necron Tier, and they didn't bring that technology with them.
Maybe they didn't like what their choice was.
Well, you know what I mean? The Silent King didn't. He regretted it. That's why for the 60 million years we were taking a nap. That's why he set off in sail, and the Silent King was actually looking for a way to somewhat undo what he did. The agreement.
Yeah, because it's like selling out to the devil, so to speak. They sold themselves out to live.
But now our numbers are dwindling, but they're not coming back because from what I understand, we're not taking, you know, we're killing everybody off during battles. Well, then, even if we brought technology with us, there's nobody to...
There's no way to refresh your troops, so eventually the Necrons in a realistic setting would run out. They would just run their course and be killed off at some point. They're just literally not
going to sustain it. Which is also why the Tyranids don't want to fight us. Sure, the Tyranids might win in a battle, but there's nothing flesh to replenish their troops.
Yeah, they take a loss too that way.
So, yeah, they might win the battle, but they still lose in the end because they're losing their numbers and they're not able to replenish their numbers.
Well, that's why
the Tyranids love battling you and love battling the Votan and love battling anything with flesh.
Well, yeah.
I'd like to read some lore and understand the chaos and how they replenish their numbers if they just get corrupt or how that happens.
Yeah, a lot of it seems to be taken over or whatever.
If it's just like a virus that takes over the flesh.
It's like there's a lot of demons in this game, man. So if you look at chaos stuff, it's all really dark and you just have to, I don't know, without going down too much of it, you can go down
the rabbit hole of the lore.
Well, all the lore on this, but they've created a universe that's fractured, so they could just at any time add another group or whatever, which is okay.
Are we in the 40th millennium or are we in the 41st millennium?
41st, I think.
Because I thought I heard from you that you heard rumor that there was going to be a 42nd millennium.
About they were getting to switch over to 50K, another 10,000 years 50. Past.
Still the 51st
because
millennium.
At some point, I would bet to say, and it's just a guess, so don't hold me to it, is obviously Game Workshop gets money out of this. But also, the older generation, this thing's been around for 30 years. Not everybody, the newer generation, a lot of the younger gamers and stuff coming on, they're not, they'll play Xbox or PlayStation for 12 hours, but this requires a lot more than just sitting down and doing that. So,
I don't know, I get, the more I prefer this crap.
Yeah.
The less I prefer the Xbox.
Well, I'm just saying, they can play 10 or 12 hours. I've done that here or there, you know, in my life on the Xbox, but anymore, yeah, I don't. Yeah,
and then I've got an achievement for it on freaking Farming Simulator.
Yeah, you did. But I prefer this over that anymore.
I don't know. I'd like to see them do a Farming Simulator table towel. That'd be kind of different.
Oh, but with actual little, you have to add batteries and it can make the tractor can sense the edge of the table and turn around and come back like this.
Yeah.
That would work. Well, but
you still get stuck on something because I swear no matter what you do, it's when you play Farming Simulator, it's you'll start your guy off, you'll go do it something, all of a sudden it's like, oh, helper is stuck. It's like, what? How?
Yeah. Well, thanks for coming over, Keegan. Thank you guys for listening.
Yeah, you definitely have to go through and read and look.
Read your codexes, read your cards, ask people. We know people who are, like Frost and Fist is a group. You can check them out on YouTube there. Those guys have been playing Warhammer a lot more than us. Who Took My Dice is another guy. That man is infinite knowledge of Warhammer.
It's like a walking Warhammer encyclopedia.
Yeah, so if you're playing Warhammer and you got questions, ask people. Well, I have to bring up a guy named OG. I don't know. I can't remember his real name, but he helped us out on TikTok. So there's people around.
Time we had a board action game.
Yeah, there's people around. Just check with them. That's what we do. We play so many different games. We're not experts on Warhammer. Like I said several times, my biggest problem is I've got to read and remember under these circumstances I can do da 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 if this condition exists. The problem with me is it's too much sometimes.
See, you've got a lot of conditional stuff. Yeah. The Necrons don't have a lot. It just happened. It's not conditional.
Yeah, the Marines, I noticed, there's a lot of conditional. Under this circumstance, you can do that. Well, you have to remember that if you've got five different squads with five different abilities and five different things they can use, then it becomes a lot. So, more or less, I want to condense my Warhammer group to, you know, a couple groups, maybe an overall army, and have four or five cards out, not tons of it, because it's a lot for me personally to keep up with, and that's only due to not enough time. But we've been here for about an hour and I don't know, hour and 10 minutes or so, hour and 7 minutes. So we appreciate you guys listening in, and leave a comment, leave a like. We really enjoy doing the podcast. So you can find us too on YouTube, Gamers with Coffee, and our Facebook group, same name, Instagram, same name, TikTok, same name. You can check out our shop, Gamers with Coffee shop, or gamerswithcoffee.shop. I'm sorry. So grab yourself some coffee, tea, or cups, or some swag, or whatever if you want. But we really appreciate just following, liking, and sharing that comments. Those things really help us. Any closing words there, Keegan? Because we should do this campaign Keegan's thinking about. So
no, there's no should. We are.
So we'll do that. He'll get the logistics done. Probably won't be till April, mainly because we've got a convention, March to Victory.
Yeah, we got a convention. The people that we're doing Twilight with, we got to get together and make a character so I can...
We also have a game February 24th at 7 p.m. on YouTube.
With Minnie.
Yep, with Minnie Wormut. So that's... Well, 7 p.m., he's in Arizona.
So, well, he said 7 p.m., was it 7 p.m. his time or 7 p.m. our time?
Actually, I'll have to check with him and see. Probably 7 p.m. our time, because it'd be 5 his time. It'd be easy for him to do.
Okay, so yeah, so
probably. Or maybe, I don't know, we'll check and see. But either way, February 24th, you know, if you're signed up for notifications, we'll be going live. And that's going to be a different game. A Western-themed tabletop game. He's got a Western town, but all sorts of weird stuff in it. Werewolves, jackrabbits with weapons, just weird stuff. Coming out of everywhere. So, it'll be interesting. Yeah, so, check us out on that. Other than that...
Yeah, because I think he's using the... I'll look again, but I think he's using
I believe it's Fistful of Lead rules?
That's what I thought. I thought he sent me a message yesterday...
Yep.
On it, about wanting to use a certain rule, or we're using certain rules.
Well,
yeah, using the Wiley, Using the Wiley game rule book.
So after I refresh myself on that, it's been quite a while. So Wiley Games puts out something called
Fistful of Lead. Yeah, I'm just kind of curious on what rule book he's going to use. We're using a Wiley game rule book. I don't know which one because that's how he's going to create the characters.
I'm going to guess Fistful of Lead because it's a Western theme and it's shooting a lot of old
school. Do we have that rule book?
Yeah, I got one.
We'll have to look at it.
It's been a while. It's been over 2 years since you played with it and the Star Wars stuff.
I did not play Fistful of Lead. It was
a Star Wars game they did, and it was the Fistful of Lead rules.
Was it? I thought it was the Galactic one we used. No, they used Galactic for Warhammer guys.
The Galactic Heroes is the for Warhammer, and that came out. You used Fistful of Lead when you played Star Wars.
That's right.
Because they had
Western-themed town.
Yep, they had that huge table set up, and it was with cards. But you would have to check it out. It's a pretty simple rule system.
Right, but then they all ran independently. Each character was independent in that one.
Yeah.
But they were limited to that card. So, yeah, that made a hell of a difference.
All right, well, we will catch you guys next time, so follow us. We're pretty much everywhere on Spotify, also Podbean. Podbean's a pretty good app. You can get that. Download it. It's free. But we're everywhere. So we'll catch you later. Thank you for listening.